Okay, girls, all right, it's time to get started. We're right on time again. You know, I was looking at my table of contents this morning, and of course, as you all know, we're over the halfway mark now, and I was looking at our titles for the rest of the Bible study time, and oh my goodness, how to handle wars within, wisdom makes a difference, how to recognize worldliness. Anyway, we have some good titles that are coming up, and we've had good titles. This has been a good study. And next week, Judy Bell's going to teach, and we'll be lesson number 8. And is there anything specific that we should pray about this morning before we begin? Is there anything anybody knows about going on? I didn't hear anything at church. Jennifer is having some medical issues right now, but she feels better and she's eating better than she has in a while.
So did they ever get the results of the blood work with her?
Whether it was, I don't believe they did. They think it is all his now, but I don't think they're absolutely sure yet. But the medicine that she had a problem with in the beginning starts with an S. But anyway, the one who that sent her back to the hospital, she's having some issues that keeps going up and down. So anyway, I think this is just Jennifer's life right now. It's just like one little crisis after another. Mickey's going to spend the weekend this weekend, so that's good. He hadn't seen her in a while. Okay, let's begin our morning with prayer. Father, we just thank you today for the rain last night, and Lord, we look forward to the weekend. You know we are a people of that we love change, love weekends, and we love time off, and we love time to spend with our families and in our homes. And so, Father, we thank you for the time we spent last weekend at church and in the sanctuary and studying your word through Lev and Leviticus. And we thank you also for the time you'll give us this weekend at home. And Lord, we do pray for Grant and Camille as they prepare to leave, that you would send the right one to buy their house so that this could be checked off their list, their to-do list, which I'm sure is at the top. So, Father, we ask that your power be used in this situation and that you do just what you would want them, you would show them just what you would have them accept and do with this house. Lord, we do pray for each one that's not here this morning. We pray that your blessings be upon them and that you would bring them back to us next week. I thank you for the time that Angie has spent preparing this lesson, and I ask that you would bless this next hour that we're going to spend together. Again, Lord, what a blessing it is that you make it possible that we all get together on this Thursday morning right now in the end of winter, the beginning of spring, and study your word, and that we have good teaching, and that your word is open to us, and that we know exactly what you would have us do and how you would help us to live. So keep our path pointed toward the cross, Father. Watch over each of us as we go throughout today and the weekend until you bring us back together on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sandra,
y'all
need
to judge
in front
of
God.
No, I did not.
Well, the visitation, the funeral, the whole work is going to be Saturday morning.
Okay. She has been an invalid for a long time. This is Amy and Lynn's mother. Lynn's
Ryder.
Lynn Ryder. Danny Ryder at Toby's insurance office. Well, I did not know that. Her husband died and she's been alone, and she has been an invalid for how long?
12 and a half years.
Is that long? My goodness. No, I didn't know that.
She had a stroke 2 weeks ago, but
for those of you who were not here last night, we started the parenting series, and it was excellent. And if you're not able to come on Wednesday nights, please be praying for that study. There were some different people here who are not members of our church, and even for those of us who are in the midst of parenting, it was an excellent study. And just pray, because I think the Lord's going to do mighty things during that time. If you're still trying to figure out what's going on in the study and how to study this study, let me just tell you what I'm doing from now that I'm finding helpful. If you go and for the chapter, do the questions and the discussion, read over the discussion questions, and then go into the next chapter and read the commentary, because it goes with what is going to be taught and what you have just studied in those questions. And I find that more helpful than waiting until the next week to read it. Also, I do love the way this book is bound and put together, and since we're doing James chapter 3, I just left mine open in a place that was, you know, that I see all the time, and I'd read it several times a day, just getting those words in your thought process, what he's saying here, you know, so you're thinking about it over and over and over again. The more you read it, the more you'll understand it, and so I find that very helpful. As a means of review, James' primary theme throughout the book is living out our faith, being doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word. And he rebukes his listeners for their worldliness and challenges them to seek wisdom from God. In James 1, we talked about trials and that trials are from God. And so we need wisdom, which also comes from God. We need the wisdom to be able to see that these trials are for a purpose, and that God intends good to come from them and for us to grow in our faith. And that's a whole different look on trials than the world takes. God allows tests and trials, but temptation is not from God. It's from self and Satan. And then in James 2, we talked about those who are in poverty and who are oppressed, and that they are a special focus of God's. And the church is called to care for those who are enduring these trials. We're not to show them prejudice or ignore them, but we have a special responsibility to show special care to them. And now we're in James 3, and the chapter is almost entirely focused on our speech. And what does our speech say about us as Christians? Judy and Jean are going to cover most of chapter 3 in the next 2 weeks, but I'm just going to delve into verses 1 and 2 today. Sally, I love it when you read scripture. Will you read chapter 3, verse 1 and 2?
Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. Do you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness? For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is the perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body.
Okay, so James begins his subject of the tongue by addressing teachers. In the early church, teachers that was a very important role. And those who were very ambitious would strive after that role. Today, I don't think that that's the situation. I think that teachers often are not respected. They're often the first to be criticized. Unfortunately, we see it even with very excellent and good pastors and teachers within the church, that they're quickly criticized for the things that they say. But even so, teaching is a role that takes serious commitment. It takes a lot of active study. It takes perseverance to do a job that is well done unto the Lord. We did see in our reading of our scriptures that teaching is a spiritual gift. And so as a spiritual gift, it's given to certain people, and some people do not have the gift of teaching. So some are called to a more active upfront role in teaching. So you might be thinking, oh, whew, good, I'm off the hook. I'm not a teacher. I was definitely not given that spiritual gift. But let's take a closer look at that, because actually we're all still on the hook on this one. James' message to all of us who claim to be Christian is that we all have a role of teaching somewhere. In Titus 2:3, it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So we're all back on the hook with that one. And then I love this scripture verse that she brought out in the study. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." Wouldn't you love to be used like that? leading someone to the knowledge of the truth. Are you the Lord's servant? You are a teacher in different areas. To be able to see that process of someone turning away from being in the snare of the devil, turning towards repentance, that's exciting to be involved in that kind of stuff. We have parents here. We have grandparents here. You may be an aunt. Everyone here is older than someone in the church, and so you are a teacher. Any Christian who commits, who communicates biblical truth in any form will find themselves teaching at some point. And so with verse 1 and 2 in James chapter 3, I want to go through 5 points. And again, I have to give credit to Ligon Duncan. I love his sermons. To me, he is so thoroughly equipped and studies so well, and it's hard to add much to what he says, but so I use a lot of what he says, and I have to give him a lot of the credit. First of all, it talks about how our speech is important. In chapter 2, Judy talked last week. I enjoyed listening to her lesson about faith and works. Well, right after that, he goes into talking about our speech. Well, why does he do that? Because our works are not only our actions. Our words are also part of our works, and they are some of our most important works. They're some of our most far-reaching works. When James talks about works in these chapters, he's talking about loving action or obedience. And so as we grow, as we're being sanctified, our works should be growing, and our Christian love should be evidenced in them. More and more, the words that we say should be filled with Christ's love for others. So remember, James' theme is living out one's faith. And in the book of James, he gives us 3 tests of true religion. James really puts our feet to the pavement. You know, when you say you're a Christian, are you doing these things? These are evidence of what you're saying you are. Test number 1 comes from James 1:27. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father. Is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so we talked about this already. We talked about this in our study of chapter 2, that we're not to show favoritism or partiality towards those who are in need, to those who are poor in the church. We're warned to not say, be warm and filled, and then do nothing for them. We are called to help. Test number 2, testing to see if we have that true religion, is the bridling of the tongue and getting the tongue under control. And we're going to spend 2 weeks after today even looking at this. And then the third test begins at the end of chapter 3 and goes on through the rest of James, where he deals with worldliness. When James talks about the tongue, he's following Jesus' lead because Jesus talked about it a lot. In Matthew 12, 34 through 36, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak." I'm going to try and get through this one. As I was growing up, it was very important to me to be authentic. I wanted to be real to people. I didn't want to put on a facade. And so it was very important to me, I thought, to say exactly what I thought and to say it right then. Well, after I became a Christian, God used these verses right here to begin to prod me and to show me that a lot of what I was saying was not beneficial, was not edifying, was not building people up. And I had these written in the front of my Bible. And many times as I was praying in the mornings or with God. I would pray through these scriptures and ask him, please work in me, please change my speech, because a lifetime of doing that is hard to change, and only God can do that kind of change. Well, you know, years and years went on, and it wasn't until this last semester, and we were reading through these verses, and I realized God moved me to Kosciuszko. In his graciousness and in his care for me, he moved me to Kosciuszko, because I must have heard it at least 100 times when I got here. People would say, now don't talk about anyone, because everyone's related to someone in Kosciuszko. And I quickly found out that the things you say have deep ramifications, and especially in a small town. And I was very, very surprised by the things that were said, how quickly they traveled. I just thought, how in the world did that get there? You know? And so God was gracious. And he had many other purposes, of course, for moving us here. But he answers our prayers, and he works in us and in those ways. So what does our speech say about the state of our heart? How we speak is important. Secondly, why does James start with teachers here in chapter 3? Well, teachers of the faith do bear a great responsibility. Our teachers' words are important. They can be used for both good and for evil. What teachers say can be a stumbling block to people's faith. And we find in the Bible over and over again, in fact, entire books in the Bible are written warning us against false teachers and to watch out for false teaching. Verse 1 says that not many should become teachers, but it does not say that none should become teachers. In Matthew 23:8, it's interesting because Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's telling them that they should not desire to be teachers, but he's just about to send them out to the nations to teach and to proclaim the gospel to them. So why would he say that to them? Well, again, at that time, it was so honored to be a teacher. And he was saying, do not teach for the desire for the honor of it. The honor goes to God. In Ephesians 4:12, he gives us the purpose of teachers, that they are to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. And verse 14 tells us why, so that we may no longer be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Teaching and good teaching is very, very important. So teachers' primary means of ministry is through their speech and through their words, and so James begins with them. And thirdly, we see that teachers will incur a stricter judgment. Teachers are judged by higher standards because their words are meant to be listened to. Teachers' words are able to lead some closer to God, but they're also able to lead people away from God. And this is where that discernment that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is so critical, because we must be discerning about the teachers that we listen to, and also the teachers that we bring into our churches to teach. Teachers are only to teach the truth, what comes from God. Okay, so teachers are given a responsibility that requires a stricter judgment. We see in Luke 12:48, everyone to whom much was given of him, much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. And teachers are accountable for more. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Fourthly, we see that all Christians are subject to failure. We, all of us, are not perfect. Do you all know, have you heard of false teachings that we can be perfect? That there are teachings out there that there have been sects, and there are sects of religious groups that say that we can obtain being completely perfect. Well, it's hard for me to believe. I'd never make it in. Verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. None of us are perfect. None of us this side of heaven will ever be perfect. Perfection is not the ultimate goal this side of heaven. Maturity is. We are always striving to be like Christ. We're not going to get there this side of heaven, but we do strive to mature and grow. And I heard a quote, I love it, I cannot remember who said it just recently, but they said we should not be surprised by the failures of the church, but by the growth in the church, because the failures are natural and they're going to happen, but the growth is the work of God within the church. And finally, I love this, it's so beautiful, that the control of the tongue, the control of the tongue brings order and control to the rest of our lives. James 3:2, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So James is telling us that Christian maturity is reflected in self-control in our speech. If we can control our speech, we can bring every thought captive to Christ. Are you challenged by this? I know I am. Is it a struggle for you? Well, if it's a struggle, that's good, because you're recognizing sin in your life, and that's the first step. But what do we do about it? Well, God's Word is so critical in this. We have to be marinating in Scripture, and I love that term, just, you know, being in it, soaking in the truth of God's Word in our life, so that Christ can take our minds captive. That by His grace, our speech can change. And R.C. Sproul talks about this a lot, that we're to put to death the old man. When we become new in Christ, we're not supposed to feed that old man and all the old ways that we had, but we're to feed that new man, to give that spiritual nourishment to that new man, and to be dependent on God for that. Well, this is only the beginning. James 3 is all about our speech. And so I'm really looking forward to what Judy and Jean have to say about it in the next couple of weeks. Undoubtedly, the next 2 weeks have a lot of profit to gain in studying these scriptures. So keep your books open to chapter 3 and marinate in there, because I know God has a lot of good work to do.